Well, open your Bibles, please, to Devarim. If you're visiting, you say, what? Well, the Greek name is Deuteronomy, meaning the second law, but it has been a misleading title. The purpose of Deuteronomy is not just to give you a second law. The reason they gave it that name is because the Ten Commandments are repeated in chapter 5, which we'll be looking at in our next time together. No, the correct title is Devarim, which means words. Jewish rabbis say it is the highest, most exalted, majestic book in the entire Bible. Why? Because they believe the word words, which is the title of the book, is referring to God's commentary on what happened to the children of Israel. They say there's no book that so illustrates what God wants of all believers than the book Devarim. And I like that because there's a lot in this book. There's some great prophecies in the book. In fact, I found my Jewish friends had more messianic prophecies in mind than I've ever seen in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll try to point that out to you as we go along. We're at chapter 4, and we started out with his call. He called the children of Israel to himself, and boy, what a mess they made of it. And we've come now to a third subject, and that's his commands. His commands. Now, there are going to be more of these, but this is where it starts. And I hope you'll follow along carefully. Some beautiful words. Every now and then, I have found in my own study of this, there's a verse or two in each chapter that's really worth memorizing. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. Remember the story of Balaam. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Isn't that a great verse? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, your grandchildren. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, where Mount Sinai was, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, under the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, ye heard the voice of the words, what's the name of the book? Words, Devarim, but saw no similitude or likeness, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. By the way, that phrase is repeated over and over again. The Apostle Paul used it also in the book of 1 Timothy. For you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God had divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord had taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, there it is again, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. You shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. There's a great verse to memorize. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which are before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. Thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. On this side Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt, and they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, unto the springs of Pisgah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the details of what you said to your people long ago that you've wanted for all those who believe in you to follow the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us as only you can by your wonderful Holy Spirit. Help us to be careful with the Word of God, that we might say what you say, no more, no less. We thank you in the blessed name of our Messiah, our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen. His commands to us is our theme as we continue in the first 11 chapters to remember the past. Let's start with, first of all, the purpose of his commands. Verse 1, what are the purpose of his commands? Why should I pay any attention to them? It says that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. He's not talking about being alive for another day. He's talking about the quality of their life and all the promises of God that he has made to them. So the purpose of his commands is not to hurt us, to make our life miserable, so that we can't have fun anymore. No, the purpose of his command is so we might really enjoy the blessings and the promises that God has given to us. Number two, the main prerequisite of these commands is in verse 2. And you're going to hear this more. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Goodbye, Quran. Goodbye, Book of Mormon. Neither shall you diminish aught from it. We don't want to read it, Reader's Digest version of the Bible. Now, just to clarify this in your mind, go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, as you know, took over for Moses to bring the people into the land. In Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8, it is similar to what God said here. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And here it is. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And all God's people said. Amen. Now in Proverbs, a section we call the writings, the poetic books, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now go to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22. And I remind you that Jewish men primarily wrote these books. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, we read this. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. The main prerequisite, don't add or take away from anything that I have said. Now, number 3, look at the prosperity that will come if we do what God said, verse 3 and 4. And I want you to focus on verse 4. Ye that did cleave. I like that. Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That is quoted in the New Testament a number of times. And sometimes it's translated, and be joined unto his wife. The Greek translation of the word cleave is coming out of masonry. When they put two stones together and put the cement between the two stones and it dried, you can't pull them apart. That's the way God wants our marriages to be. So we can't pull it apart. And that's the way God wants us to be with him. That you cannot pull yourself apart or separate yourself at any time of day or night through your whole life from who the Lord God is. I love that verse. You cleave unto the Lord your God. That's why you're alive, every one of you this day. And the fourth thing is to look at the promise of wisdom and understanding. I need wisdom, you do. I need understanding, which I don't have. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The promise of wisdom and understanding, it includes two things. I'd like you to notice this carefully. A lot of people read verses 5 to 8 and kind of jump over it. First, it includes the nearness of the Lord himself. The nearness of the Lord himself. Verse 7, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh or near unto them? What a wonderful encouragement that is. God has promised wisdom and understanding, and it includes the nearness of the Lord, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And don't you love the way it ends, the verse? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Half our problem is we never talk to the Lord about anything. But the second thing that's included or is involved here is the nature of these commands. Why would I hesitate to keep them? Verse 8, what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? There is no law in all of human history that matches the law of God. So righteous. It is filled with mercy and forgiveness like no other laws. The laws that are designed by human authority and not God's are always lacking in compassion and mercy. That's why it's interesting to notice in this chapter that he emphasizes, don't ever forget that the Lord your God is a merciful God. Now, the priority which these commands should be in our lives is laid out for us in verses 9 to 24. The priority that these commands should be in our lives. And I'm going to give you 5 things here that you can take down yourself and meditate on them and apply them. Let's start with number 1, as to forgetting what you've seen and heard. Verse 9. Here is a common warning in Deuteronomy. Take heed to yourself. That's what Paul told the elders of the church at Ephesus. Watch out over your own life. We're always thinking of others and finding something or someone to blame. Listen, watch out over your own life. Take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. I don't know about you, but what God is telling us is that it takes work to guard over your own heart. It is easy at a moment of just drifting thoughts to easily center in on something that is not pleasing to the Lord. Watch over your own soul diligently. Why? Lest you forget. Understand that the natural tendency we all have is to forget what God said. Amen? Lest you forget the things you've seen and they depart from your heart. And in order to make sure it stays with you, teach your children and teach your grandchildren what God had to say. If your child asks, why is it wrong to steal? Because God said so. We need to constantly emphasize the moral standards of God's word to this generation that seemingly thinks it has nothing to contribute. Oh, yes, it does. The whole issue of forgetting what you've seen and heard is here. Watch out. Be careful. Watch over your own soul. Don't keep blaming everybody else around you. Watch out. It's easy to drift away from what God said and to start making up the rules yourself. Number two, not only as to forgetting what you've seen and heard, but as to fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. Verse 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather the people together, I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. Folks, before we're done with the past, remembering the past, we're going to hear God say over and over again to fear him. I was asked at a men's conference to speak on the subject of fearing the Lord. What does it mean and why should we do it? And so many guys, I had them write out on a piece of paper what they thought it meant. And some said, it means you ought to be afraid of the consequences of disobeying him. Actually, that's true. There's quite a number of verses on that. It also means to honor and exalt and respect the Lord in every way, and that's true also. But here's an interesting thing. Did you know the Bible teaches that the one deterrent against committing sin is fearing the Lord? I think we need to be very careful in a generation that's got real chummy with God. They brought him down, what we call the eminence of God, instead of understanding his transcendence. He is unlike any of us. He is great and awesome beyond belief. And yet we were made in his image and after his likeness. There are things there that are very hard to understand. Fearing the Lord. I want you to learn to fear me all the days that you're on the earth. That's pretty clear. And number three, dealing with the priority of these commands in our life, as to following his covenant. Verse 13, it's the Ten Commandments. Dear Supreme Court of the United States, read Deuteronomy 4, verse 13, and repent. After all, it's engraved in your walls and you haven't been able to get it out yet. And your decision that cannot put the Ten Commandments on the walls of our public school classrooms is getting close to deserving the judgment of Almighty God because we're not doing what he said. Number four, in terms of the priorities of these commands, is forsaking idolatry, verses 16 to 19. Verse 15, you saw no manner of similitude. Listen, they heard God's voice. They did not see any form physically. Two things here I would emphasize to you. In verse 16 to 18, he mentions the work of making an image of that which God created. True paganism is trying to visualize by what you make who God is. God is bigger than our ability to visualize him, and there is a continual command against graven images and making likenesses of God. And many, Christian homes, I've seen all these pictures and likenesses of the Lord. Be very careful. That's very close to violating what God said. No graven image at all. That's what he said. And verse 19 is a condemnation of the worship of the heavenly bodies, the host of heaven. In verse 19, lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven, and you're driven to worship them and serve them. Watch out. You say, do people do that? Well, here's a statistic for you. 62 million Americans are regular subscribers to the astrology tables. They live by them. I think they're pretty stupid myself. It's like going to a Chinese restaurant and getting the little cookie thing and you break it open to get the message. And you open it up and it says, you are going to meet somebody today. Well, the chances of that are pretty heavy. I want to open it up and hear a message like, help, I'm caught in a cookie factory, you know, or something. But the thing is so dumb. And I know people who follow those tables. They put them in the newspapers all the time. What sign are you? That's the most common question I get asked on the airplanes that I fly on. People say, what sign are you? Boy, what an open door. You can drive a truck through that if you just get a little creative about it. Have a little fun with people. Are you Leo? No, I'm not. I bet you're Taurus, the bull. Yeah, that's who you are. No, I'm not. Well, what sign are you? I don't know and I don't care. Well, how do you know what to do? Oh, I have the original document that's behind all of that. An original document? Where do you get it? Well, you can actually get it on Amazon.com. You can't? Is it expensive? No, it's pretty cheap. You can get several copies. Give one to every member of your family. You got the original document? Yes, I do. They don't know whether to talk to you or not. I love it. Don't push yourself. Just let it happen, folks. They just open their lives like you cannot believe. Well, do you have it with you? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. It's right here in my briefcase. Well, could I see it? Well, I don't know. It's pretty important stuff. Well, can other people look at it? Well, yeah, they have throughout history. Well, I'd like to see it. Are you sure? Yeah. Well, you're probably going to just laugh or mock or something, and that'll bring judgment on you. Really? How does that happen? You probably don't want to know, but let me show it to you. You know, it's amazing. Then people look at it and say, oh, that's the Bible. That's right. That's the original document. And I want to read you something about what you just said. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. If you're following the astrological tables and the sun, moon, and stars is what you're looking at, God says, you're doing the wrong thing, and you're going to get his judgment. It's to the law and his testimony. If you won't listen to that, there is no other hope for you. And at that time, they usually asked the flight attendant if they could move to another seat on the plane. I do get loud because I get excited. Number 5, the fifth thing about the priority of these commands, verses 20 to 24, is facing the anger of the Lord. God doesn't want his people to forget. He's a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. He's not playing games with us. Verse 20, he mentions the deliverance from Egypt must never be forgotten. The Lord took you, and look what he calls it, out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt. And the disobedience of Moses, who would have thought, out of all the children of Israel, he can't go into the promised land? I got to die in this land. I can't go over because of what I did. You see, the illustration of Moses' example is what backs up all of God's commands to be careful about disobedience. Of all people who should go into the land, it should be Moses, but God set him as an example. You deliberately disobeyed what I said, and because of that, you will not go into the promised land. And that's a warning to all of God's people. And a third thing about facing the anger of the Lord is the display of God's nature must never be ignored. The Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Amazing. We see this throughout in chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He promises to destroy the nations in front. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29, it warns us about taking lightly heaven and hell issues and says that the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. It warns us about falling into the hands of the living God, thinking somehow you can live your life without ever acknowledging him and escape his ultimate judgment. It won't happen. Now, number 6 in our outline, the punishment for following idolatry. Here's what God lays out for them. Verses 25 to 28. And if you want to just jot down the notes, I give you 3 things. Here's the punishment. First, it provokes God to anger. Verse 25. If you do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, God is not pleased. And secondly, it predicts utter destruction if that disobedient pattern continues. Verse 26, you'll utterly perish from off the land, and Israel has experienced that. And number 3, it puts his people in heathen lands. Verses 27 to 29, the Lord will scatter you among the nations. And boy, he did. God means what he says. So why do we have the book of Devarim, the words of God about what happened? And why does he want us to remember the past? Because all of this is for those who will be living in the end times. They are words of admonition and warning to us. May God help us. Which brings me to verses 29 to 40. The 7th thing about this chapter is the possibility of forgiveness. I could not find it in the Quran, but I find it in the Bible. This awesome, jealous, angry God over the idolatry and sin of his people is also the same one who will forgive them. So what do we do to know his forgiveness? That's the heart of this. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. 4 things. Number 1, seek the Lord with all your heart and soul. Verse 29. You know, God knows when we're half-hearted. God knows when we're just giving token little prayers, you know. No, this is a very intense command of God. You want to know his forgiveness? Then seek the Lord with all your heart and soul. Number 2, in verse 30, submit to his voice in times of trouble and tribulation. It says, in the latter days, be obedient unto his voice. You know what I need when everything's falling apart, which looks like it is? I need to be obedient to God. Not to back up or fall off or stray away or be less committed than before. No. In times of trouble, I need to reinforce my commitment to the Lord. I'm not backing off. I'm not backing down. I'm going to be stronger than ever through the power of God's wonderful Holy Spirit. And number 3, search for any evidence of the mercy of God upon any other people. This is really remarkable. If you want to know who God is, he's the Lord God of Israel. If you want to know who he's been merciful and compassionate to, it is the children of Israel. And when I looked at this, I saw 3 simple things about searching for evidence that he showed mercy to anyone else like he did to Israel. 1, having an unconditional covenant, verse 31. The Lord thy God is a merciful God And it tells me three things there. He will not forsake thee, he will not destroy thee, and he will not forget his covenant. And I say amen. What do you say? What an encouragement to our hearts, because we have an unconditional covenant. It does not depend upon our performance. It depends on the mercy of our God. Mercy holds back from us what we really deserve. Not only having an unconditional covenant makes Israel unusual, but hearing God's voice. Verse 33, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire and still live? Of course not. But Israel did, and therefore there is no person, there is no nation in the whole history of the world that has been blessed like Israel's been blessed. He's a God of mercy. Not only having an unconditional covenant and hearing God's voice, but number three, helping them to be delivered. Verse 34, all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes, he helped you to be delivered out of Egypt. Now the fourth thing about forgiveness. First, seek the Lord with all your heart and soul. Second, submit to his voice even when times are difficult. And third, search for any evidence of the mercy of God on any other people. You won't find it. And number four, surrender to his power and plan. Verse 35 to 40. Surrender to his power and plan. And I want you to see four simple things. First, his purpose is quite clear. He mentions it in verse 35 and verse 39. That thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there's none else beside him. Amen? That's his purpose. Number two, his patience was evident. Verse 36, that he might instruct thee. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. Upon earth he showed his great fire. Why? And thou heard his words out of the midst of the fire. God had patience with them. Why? He wanted to instruct them and help them. And number three, his power was displayed. Verse 37 and 38, because he loved your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He chose their seed, brought them out, how? With his mighty power out of Egypt, and to give thee that land. And number four, his proclamations must be obeyed. His proclamations must be obeyed for two reasons, really. One, because he alone is God, verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And here comes again, get ready to respond. There is none else. Amen. His proclamations must be obeyed because he alone is God, but secondly, because their future is dependent on their obedience. Verse 40. You will keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, that it may go well with thee, thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What's the next word? Forever, praise God. Two last simple things here. One is the placing of the cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan River. And I want to ask why and where. Why do this? And he tells you, when accidental death occurs. Verse 42, the slayer might flee, which would kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past. If there was a history of hatred, then he's not protected because there was a root and a motive that everybody knew about. But if he didn't hate him and he accidentally killed him, he's to flee to the city of refuge where there will be leaders and judges who can rule on the case. And as long as he stays there, he will be protected. Well, where did you put these? God put one in each of the territories. In Bezer, where the Reubenites were, in Ramoth, where the Gadites were, and in Golan, where the Manasseh half-tribe was. And one final thing, the possession of the land east of the Jordan River. In the last few verses, six verses, the law that Moses set before him, and he lays out in detail two things here. The law of Moses was given, verse 44 and 45. If ever there was a blessing that happened on the east side, it was that they had a repeating of God's wonderful law. And secondly, the land of Sihon and Og, who were Amorites that God said destroy every one of them for their sin and idolatry, that land was given to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. I'd like to make a statement now. It'll be on the tape. Israel has that land given to them by God, and Jordan should give all of it back. Now, south from the Arnon and from Amman, Jordan today and south, God told him, no, I don't want you to have that land that belongs to Jordan and the people of Mount Seir, the Edomites. But north, all those pasture lands of Gilead, and thank God they now have the Golan, Bashan. Syria wants it back now that Israel has done such a beautiful job agriculturally and economically. That is a blessing. I've taken people on to Golan, my goodness, over 40 years now every year, and every time I go, there's usually a couple on the bus who wants to consider moving to Golan and living there. I've had couples actually stop at real estate offices and make application to get a home on Golan. The communities are so beautiful. They're laid out, gorgeous, public parks and schools. It's a gorgeous place, and the agricultural success of that land is phenomenal. They have a whole movie now at on the Golan at the Capitol that you can see of the whole business of the Golan, and it is spectacular, and you realize how God has blessed them. Well, all we need to do is go a little ways south and get Jordan to give us back Gilead. There's a balm in Gilead. There's some ointment in Gilead that God has for the children of Israel. Now, we want it back. Was that clear? I don't want anybody to be confused on the tape. Is it clear? So next time anybody argues with you over the land, just say, not only does Judea and Samaria all belong to Israel, but also Gilead and Bashan, they all belong to Israel. And God said so. And you people are wrong. And you're going against God. And I don't care who you are, whether you're a president, a secretary of state, or a congress, you cannot go against the Lord God of Israel without paying a price. Was that clear enough? I hope it's in your heart the way it should be. I'm sick and tired of all of this. The fact is, our nation has gone against God over and over again. And the way we are treating Israel is abominable, and I wrote them about it, and I'm going to keep yelling and screaming. If I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum it to death. One last thing that I want to put on this message. When the ambassador to Israel, Michael Oren, spoke at the University of California of Irvine, I was with him that day. I was ashamed and embarrassed for my country, the United States of America. I was ashamed for the University of California, whose chancellor and president did absolutely nothing as the Islamics shouted and threw things, and they had to arrest 12 of them, but they didn't stop it. I couldn't help but see the contrast this week as we had an Islamic talk about hate speech toward Israel. That went on at the University of California, Irvine, this week. Look, I don't know where the people of God are, but stop being quiet. It's time that we speak up. And if there ever was an issue to speak up over, it's Israel, the apple of God's eye. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for these words that you gave us about what your people went through. You told us to remember the past so we'd never forget what kind of a God you are and how you worked with your people. Your mercy, your appeals to forgiveness were incredible. And Lord, I know that same love and tenderness is here today, that no matter how we have violated your word and disobeyed you, your love is there. Your forgiveness is available to all who will seek you with all of our heart and soul. Speak to us, Lord, about being obedient to everything you say. In the blessed name of our Messiah, our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen.